now enter into the Eucharistic prayer. There are a couple of different movements in the prayer, and of course, Eucharist is a Greek word that simply means thanksgiving. It reminds us that when Jesus was at the Last Supper with his disciples, he gave thanks when he took the bread. And so this is an act of thanksgiving where we remember Jesus giving himself for us. So this first part is an exchange between the priest and the congregation. We're preparing ourselves to give thanks to the Lord. And then we introduce what we call the Sanctus et Benedictus, Sanctus Latin for holy, Benedictus Latin for blessed. And we sing this great hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. We remember Isaiah being in the presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6. We remember Revelation chapter 4 with all the company of heaven singing this hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And then this part of the Sanctus, the Benedictus, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, comes from Psalm 118. And this was a psalm that pilgrims to the temple would often sing. And of course, on Palm Sunday, this is the line that the people chanted when Jesus made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so we're coming into the very presence of God as we prepare to receive the Eucharist. And now the Lord be with you. In this portion of the Eucharistic prayer, there are a couple of important moments. The first is what we call the epiclesis, where we pray that the Holy Spirit would come on these gifts of bread and wine, that they would become for us the body and blood of Jesus. And then we have what we call the anamnesis. It's a Greek word for remembrance. And this isn't a cognitive remembering because, of course, none of us were there at the Last Supper. And so when we say that we're remembering the night that Jesus was betrayed when he took bread and wine and gave it to his disciples, what we're doing is asking God to somehow make that moment present to us, not only in our minds, but in our hearts, in our emotions, and even in our bodies, that night becomes somehow present to us, the anamnesis. And then when we say the words of institution, Jesus said, this is my body. Jesus said, this is my blood. Remembering the Last Supper, but also using the words that St. Paul used with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so somehow Jesus becomes mystically present for us, spiritually present in his real presence in the Eucharist, in the bread and wine. Now, Anglicans have really done a good job of avoiding how they describe what that means. Is Jesus present in the Eucharist? Yes. Is Jesus ascended at the right hand of the Father? Yes. Is Jesus present in the Eucharist? Yes. Are the bread and wine still bread and wine? Yes. We're okay with those answers and haven't sought to define them any further than that. And I think that that's good that we do that. And so finally, we offer ourselves to the Lord as we prepare to receive the Eucharist. And we conclude with a great amen, by him and with him and in him. And the congregation responds with amen. Let it be so. And now comes the fraction. The fraction, of course, is connected to the word fracture. And this is when I actually break the bread and we give the what is called the memorial acclamation. When I say Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, it's important to know that this is in the perfect tense grammatically. In Greek, the perfect tense focuses on a completed event, but specifically the present consequences of that completed event. Completed event. In other words, the completed event is Christ's once for all death and sacrifice for us on the cross. So Jesus isn't being re-sacrificed. He isn't being re-honored. This is a once for all sacrifice. This is the completed event. But we're focusing on the present consequences of that completed event, namely that we have fellowship with God, we have forgiveness of our sins, we have transformed lives, and we have hope for eternal life. And this is what we're doing when I break the bread and make the announcement that Christ has been sacrificed for us, and then you all are entering into this feast of celebration in which we're participating. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace.
Alleluia. And before we come to the Lord's table, we pray this prayer of humble access, again acknowledging that of ourselves we're unworthy to be in the presence of God, but we're reminded that our God delights in showing mercy, and so we prepare in our hearts to come. So let us pray together. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord who always delights in showing mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. At this point, we're calling the congregation to come to communion, acknowledging that these are the gifts of God for you all, the people of God. We're calling you to come forward to receive the bread and the wine of the Eucharist in faith, believing that Jesus is there and he wants to love you and to nourish you, to remind you of his goodness and of his presence. And so now these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So we don't have any music. We don't really have much going on. And we remember that St. Paul told us to examine our hearts before we come forward to take communion, and this is why. Then what I like to do musically, and this is just my own preference, is to start with music that's slow and contemplative, that focuses on the love of God for us, the cross of Christ, his welcome of sinful people, but then to build toward a song of celebration and praise for all that God's done for us. I find that introverts tend to love the quiet, contemplative part, and that extroverts tend to love the exuberant praise part. And so I'd rather not have a church of just introverts or just extroverts. So enter into the time where you really love, and the part that you may not connect with, you can give thanks that your brothers or sisters are entering in as well. And so now let us come to communion. So at this point in the service, we commission our Eucharistic visitors, and these are brothers and sisters who go through training, and they go out on Sunday afternoon and share communion with those who, for whatever reason, can't be with us. Maybe they're in the hospital, maybe they're homebound, maybe for whatever reason they can't make it to church, but somebody calls us and says, this person would really like communion, or I'd like communion, and they go out, they listen, they pray, they share communion. So if this is a ministry that any of you all would be interested in, if you like to listen, you like to pray, you like to be with people, then let me know. We'd love to have you serve. So Father, bless now these your servants. Fill them with your Spirit, and we pray that those to whom they go would know your deep love for them and the fellowship they share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now is our post-communion prayer. Feel free to kneel for the post-communion prayer. We've just received from God's grace and God's bounty, and so now we're preparing to go out into the world. So this is a prayer of thanksgiving, and now we're asking God, who has just nourished us and loved us and blessed us, to prepare us to go into the world. So now we're beginning to shift our focus from what is going on in this sacred space to what's going on in the world around us. And so let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. And one of the other roles of an ordained person is to declare God's blessing. And so it's with joy that I announce the blessing of God on this congregation. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.